customers that have happy experiences are spend 140% more than they would otherwise. Revenues are increased 15%, loyalty 500%. I mean, you plug in any company's numbers into those figures. I mean, those are the tangible, like real results that you can expect if you focus on providing an exceptional experience.
Welcome to Sales Founders, the entrepreneur's podcast for accelerating sales growth. Join us as we interview VCs, entrepreneurs, and industry experts to explore strategies that will help you conquer the sales gap and generate scalable revenue. Here's your host, Brad Harker.
Hello and welcome to Sales Founders. I'm your host, Brad Harker. It is great to be with you this week. Thank you for taking a few minutes to tune in and join us. If you're new to the podcast, welcome to the show. Come and visit us at salesfounders.com. You can find access to all of our show notes, past episodes, and ways to connect, and materials that you can also work with to focus on your journey as an entrepreneur, as a founder. Also, and before we kind of get into this week's episode, this is the season finale of this first season of Sales Founders. We have over 50 episodes that we've put out, and it's been a real honor and experience and journey to be able to interview all of the entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and founders that we have. It's been a blast, and I love opportunities to share content and to help entrepreneurs in your own personal journey to take that startup, to take your experience to the next level. So thank you for being faithful listeners, for tuning in. And hopefully, if you haven't yet, go back and check out some of our past episodes. We've had so many great guests. And this week is no exception. Scott Porter is a great friend of mine, and he is the founder of San Diablo Artisan Churros, a high-end churro company, the first in Utah. He also has an incredible entrepreneurial career that we're going to talk about that has really lent itself well to his focus on the customer experience, the customer journey, everything about the way that a customer engages with a business. And frankly, what is the system, the process, the tools that any founder can leverage to deliver an incredible experience in whatever it is that you do? He's rescued a bankrupt nursing home. He has taken all of his employees to the Ritz-Carlton just to soak in great experience. He's a master of it. And I think all of us can agree that we know exactly when we've experienced amazing customer service. We know what it feels like. We want to evangelize everything about it. We also know when we've had a horrible experience, and we want to do everything we can to make sure that nobody else has that experience. That's what we're going to dig into in this episode. And we're going to really talk about a process that you can take with you to really take your business to the next level and see an ROI and see the growth and scale that comes from evangelism. It's truly a hallmark of a scalable and efficient sales model. And so with that, let's jump into it with my good friend, Scott Porter. Scott, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great to be here.
So let's take a few minutes and introduce you to the listeners and talk to us about your background and, of course, the story leading up to San Diablo Churros.
Sure. Well, I've been an entrepreneur my entire professional career, and kind of had a bit of an eclectic career past. And I remember my out of undergrad at Brigham Young University, I moved to Seattle. Was the first employee at a startup PR firm. I built my own IKEA desk my first day on the job, and it was just the two of us, and grew that agency. And then went back to business school. Out of business school, unexpectedly went to work for a nursing home company and ran a couple of different nursing homes in Southern California. It was the business model was to take over distressed properties, turn them around, and we did that in both the Pasadena area and in Ventura.
Okay.
Then ran a home health agency in Southern California. Did some consulting for multinational companies in Latin America while I lived in DC for a bit, and then about 5 years ago, some friends and I started an all-you-can-fly membership airline called Surf Air. Throughout all of these different things, my brother and I had a side hustle. We started a toy and game company and also started a nonprofit. So we did international humanitarian service trips. So kind of all over the place with like healthcare and toy and game and nonprofit and travel and tourism And about a year ago, I launched, I hadn't done anything in food. I love food. And so I started a gourmet artisan churro company, and we do catering, and we launched that in Salt Lake City. So,
okay. What led to a churro business?
It's a natural transition, right? From airlines to churros.
Did you serve churros on your airline?
No, okay, actually.
Right. So then why churros?
Well, it's actually kind of part of the reason why we're talking today is that after we left Surf Air, was kind of looking at, you know, I've had this really, different career path, mm-hmm. that as an entrepreneur, oftentimes entrepreneurs, you know, have no idea where they're going to end up and where the opportunities take them. And, I was doing a lot of introspective analysis, like what am I, you mm-hmm. know, professionally, what do I have to offer? What's the, what is the connector of all the common thread among all of these, you know, seemingly disparate experiences? And, as I was, and what I came to was that I am ridiculously passionate about how to craft an exceptional customer experience, and all built on a foundation of a thriving internal culture. And I've seen the impact of that when I was working in both nursing homes and home health agency, and then at Surf Air, developed a system, a model and framework that we put in place that had pretty dramatic, positive results in all of those instances. And I would just love to help others, know how to do this. Oftentimes as entrepreneurs and leaders, we know of the importance of culture, know of the importance of customer experience and want to do that, but oftentimes just don't know how. And so that's what I would love to do. And so I thought, gosh, if I could expand and maybe go into a different vertical, I've seen that my system works in healthcare and works in travel and tourism. Why not try it in food as well? And so I started San Diablo Artisan Churros as to be a showcase of terrific customer experience and awesome internal culture, and how I wanted to really have a living, breathing example that I could say, this just happened yesterday and in my own company, and this is how we tackled it. These are the fun challenges and crazy opportunities that we have, and it's very real and salient and now. And so that was what led me to, there were some other filters that kind of led me to the actual churro as a business. But it was something, you know, how when you travel abroad or anywhere really, and you come across something, you're like, why can't we have this in America? Right. You know? And so I had my first filled churro in Mexico City years ago, and it's always been in the back of my head. And last year was just kind of right place, right time. Let's prove the model, as like a catering business and something fun and different, in Utah, and then expand from there. But all with the idea of, San Diablo as this kind of showcase example of what great customer experience can do to help your business thrive.
This is where I wish that my podcast were like 2 hours long, because there's so much that I'd love to talk about. I mean, part of the focus that I want to definitely get into is that customer experience, because I think it fits really nicely with some of the past episodes that we've had. I mean, even sure. In the last few weeks, we've had a lot of focus on the customer experience, the validation, that process. And you kind of come and add a lot of context to an established business, you know, that moment where you say, hey, I've got a successful company. That's just the beginning, right? It's a new journey. It's a new chapter. And so talking about that journey, I think is I'm excited to dig into that. Relative to your business though, I'm kind of curious to learn about your model a little bit. Tell me a little bit more about San Diablo Churros.
Sure. So we have positioned ourselves as what we call artisan churros. So our churros are made fresh. We make our own dough. We fry them fresh on demand. They're hot. We coat them in freshly ground cinnamon sugar, and then they're hollow, and we fill them with what we say, we inject them with happiness. And so your choice. So we've got Dulce de Leche, Nutella, Sweet Cream. And then of course, like throughout the year, we have different seasonal flavors as well. We've done, I mean, it's Christmas time. We've done, right now we have a ginger snap spice, which is like a gingerbread cookie butter. We have figgy pudding. We've got peppermint cream. And, you know, fall time we did pumpkin cheesecake. And for Cinco de Mayo, we had an horchata filled churro. And so anyway, for us, the churro is just like a blank slate. And we've positioned ourselves as a really, a special sort of unique dessert that not very many people are familiar with. They love churros thanks to Costco and Disneyland.
Right.
And now we just are dialing them up a notch, you know? And so our target customer is really anyone that's looking to create something memorable at an event that they're throwing, whether it's a birthday party, 40th birthday party, wedding, some sort of corporate event. And we do parties from 25 to 2500, you know? And, and so what our goal is to really make it memorable and special. We talk about one of our company values is interaction, not transaction. Mm-hmm. I think so much of the food business is all transactional. You know, we go through the drive-through, sometimes don't even make eye contact with the person there, get our food, they hand it to us, pay them, and then we're off, you know. We want to create something that's an experience and something that's special and different. And so, those people that are crafting those types of, or wanting that type of experience with their wedding or their party or at their company, those are our people. That's our target audience. So,
how do you market? How have you grown the business? I mean, it's super niche, which is often a good thing. How do you grow? How do you publicize it? Who knows about how to talk about
sure.
that?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's been all of our growth. I mean, I guess I can't say all of it, but we haven't had tremendous success with like any sort of very, very minor paid advertising that we've done on social media. But I would say that the vast majority of our growth has all been organic, word of mouth. I always tell our team, like, the best thing that we can do is get our churros in the mouths of everyone. And so we're always doing samples and getting people to sample the churros. Once they do, they're like, I mean, you should hear the comments that people make once they eat the churros. It's just like their minds are blown, like, best churros I've ever had. All these very kind, you know, comments that people make. And obviously the product has to be good. But then one of the most fulfilling things for me as I think about San Diablo churros and what we're doing as a team is when we get our reviews on Yelp or on Google or Facebook and people say, man, those are like the best churros I've ever had. All caps, exclamation points, whatever. The churros are amazing, but the team was phenomenal. Like, they're the friendliest people I've ever met. And, you know, over the top, you know, went above and beyond to help me, you know, help my child with the churro, or like this happened or whatever. And they just, that's the type of thing that really makes me happy. And I believe that is not only makes me happy, but it that sort of happiness spreads. And they, you know, then they're like anxious to share their reviews. People that come and experience the churros are excited to share those and want that at their next event as well. And so I attribute the lion's share of our organic growth to word of mouth that is all built on this experience that people have with us. I mean, we're wearing horns and halos. We have a cowbell, which I have in my car. I should go get it. Because that's like an integral part to our culture is, and as silly as it sounds, like, when you ring the cowbell, people get excited. They're like, oh, no one's ever rung a cowbell for me. And you're like, okay, yeah, I mean, we all need more cowbell, you know? And so it's, and we ring the cowbell. And I love the question, like, well, how do I know when you guys are going to ring the cowbell? Or what dictates whether or not you ring it? We're like, we just, you, whenever you're feeling it, like when we're training our new team members, they're like, when do I ring the cowbell? Whenever you're feeling it, you know, like if someone, they have a cute kid, their glasses are cool, you know, it's their birthday, it's their anniversary, they serve in the military, whatever it is, like, oh, cowbell, you know? And so it's all of those things. We tell people about our secret menu and we let them in, you know, like, hey, this is, we make these churros like this and you can get your churro Diablo style, and it's just spicy cinnamon sugar. And if you really want a kick, we got Inferno style. And people are like, oh, okay, cool. And we also have crickets, you know, we put like roasted crickets on our churros, which may sound weird, but it's like, it's totally like the new thing, and people go bonkers over it. And it spread, like you put crickets on a churro and it spreads throughout a party pretty quickly, you know?
Yeah, no kidding.
And so all of those interesting things build this experience that's memorable. And we have these personal connections with people that we have when we're serving them a churro, we look them in the eye, we call them by name. And all of those moments are what create this experience for our churro family. Like, we actually don't even refer to our customers as customers. We call them members, because we believe that everyone's a member of Club Churro, you know, essentially. And from there's a mindset shift in our team. And when you think about treating someone as a member, it's very different than as a one-off customer. You know, when they're a member, they're coming to you, they're part of the family. We have when we did our launch party, I was wondering who in the world would ever come to like a churro business launch party. And so I had to do something that was attractive to get them there. We've obviously fed them tacos and had live music, and we actually had live churro sheep there, which, by the way, the churro got its name from the churro breed of sheep in Spain. They thought that the pastry looked like the horns. So there's your trivia.
Thank you.
For the day. Yeah.
I will never look at a churro the same.
Yeah. Dinner conversation. It's going to blow everyone's mind. So, but we gave everyone that came to the party a VIP churros for life card. So they get free churros for life whenever they come. So there were 250 people that are out there in the world that get free churros for life whenever and wherever we are. And when they come, and they come to our kiosks or wherever we're popping up and selling, and they're like, I carry this card around with me, so whenever I see you guys, I want to come and get some churros. And it's amazing the value that that those people that were there at our launch party place on the churros for life. And they're like, we're lifers. We ring the cowbell. We give them a hug. They're like part of the family. You know, they were there when we started and we think of them as family. And so all of that is what we've grown tremendously. You know, now we're, it's just been over a year. We're doing anywhere between, 8 to 15 events a week. And we have pop-ups in a couple different locations, and we have big plans for what's going to happen in 2018 and beyond. But it's, I would say that it's a hugely attributed to the experience that our team creates whenever and wherever we are. So
I think of a few standouts, and part of this is the business cases in college, but you got Nordstrom, right? Mm-hmm. Always known for their customer service. You got Disneyland.
Someone returned the tire, right?
We've all done the case study, right? And there's a number of them that I think about where I'm just like, you know what? Incredible, incredible experience. And obviously there's a big reason for their success. The problem is, you know it when you experience it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can't even put your mouth or your head around it or understand what it is, or your finger on it, is what I'm trying to say. But you just know that you loved it. You appreciate that they went that extra mile and it was authentic, and you can't help but evangelize it because you want to talk about it, because it's becoming so rare to have that kind of an experience. So my question, I guess the problem that I'm seeing as I lead into this question, which is very leading, is I think a lot of people don't get it, and they put no stock or value in the power of the customer's experience. You get it. And what I want to make sure that we cover on this episode is how do we help other people get it? And why is it so important that entrepreneurs get this? Because this right here, I think you could do any business you want and apply this same level of customer focus. I mean, this is the big epiphany of this era, decade in entrepreneurship is validation and getting in front of your customer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is just the other side of the coin for you and the other side of the business. So how do you help other entrepreneurs get this? Like what's maybe some of the statistics, the problems, maybe just, where do you start?
I mean, that is a terrific question. I think you nailed it, is in the sense that all of us are customers and we are developing, like even when we're sitting here in your beautiful office, like there, we are experiencing having interactions with hundreds of brands in this room alone.
Yeah.
Like all the brands of the clothes that you're wearing, stuff that your watch, computer, the microphones, everything that we're seeing and experiencing right now, we have touch points, whether they're physical touch points, virtual, or digital on the phone even. We're developing brand experience, we're developing feelings towards brands, whether we're aware of it or not. And you said it, everyone has horrible customer experience stories. The kind of stories that you come home and you're like, you're never gonna believe what just happened to me at, you know, fill in the blank business. And so we know what it feels like. And we also know when we were like, man, I love going to Chick-fil-A because every time I say thank you, they say, my pleasure, right? Like how they get those 16-year-olds, whether you're in St. George, Utah, or you're in, you know, you're in North Carolina, it doesn't matter. The 16-year-olds say it's my pleasure when you say thank you every time and every place. And that is by design, and that's very deliberate. But so we know what exceptional customer experience is because it's so rare, and when we feel it, we're like blown away. So the challenge is, how do we then create that as a leader? And whether you're leading a business or you're leading your family, leading an organization, even your own personal brand, how do you step back and analyze, okay, how are people experiencing me? How are they experiencing our brand? How are they, what is it, what words are they associating when they say, you know, San Diego Churros? What are the first three words that come to mind? And so I think even just going through that exercise with your, whatever your brand is, whatever your company or organization is. And I like to think of it as like stepping back and analyzing the touch points and like literally going through meticulously, getting your leadership team together and saying, okay, when people interact with us, with our brand, whether it's in person, online, even virtual or even AI, like what are they seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, and smelling when they interact with our brand? When I was running a nursing home, we took, you know, one of the things that, because this is where I first, I mean, it's amazing, you like led right into it. When I first started running a nursing home, I was like, you know, we're bankrupt. We took over a bankrupt facility and we got to turn this around. 200 other competitors within a 10-mile radius in Southern California. No one knew we existed. We were a small, little, tiny nursing home and no money to do any sort of huge marketing efforts or push or anything like that to like get doctors' attention or hospitals' attention. And what are we going to do? And so we turned to the power of customer experience to really, you know, catapult us into success. And so I'm like, well, we don't have money, but what we can do is create an experience that's so amazing that that everyone's going to want to send their mother, their aunt, their friend to our nursing home to get better. And so what we would do, we would take our, and I studied, so that's when I kind of got into like studying Nordstrom and Disney and Zappos and Chick-fil-A, In-N-Out. Like, it doesn't, the Ritz-Carlton, you know, it doesn't have to be a high-end brand. It's In-N-Out. It's Chick-fil-A, you know. Yeah. They can still have an amazing customer experience that everyone talks about. And then you create promoters for you that are spreading the word all over. And so that's exactly what we did. And we had, you know, we had our nice mission and values that we frame and put on the wall like most businesses do. And what was starting to keep me up at night, and I was studying the how these masters of customer experience were doing it, is that we needed to embed and integrate fully into the hearts and minds of everyone at every level, from the janitor to the boss. Make sure that everyone's on board, what type of experience we're creating, how we're doing it, and what we want people to feel. How are we controlling like all of those touch points? What are we doing to capitalize on the opportunity of all of those different ways to have people have a positive experience with us? So I would take our, one of the things I love to do is take our team to the Ritz-Carlton. And I would tell them, we'd sit down, and some of our CNAs and janitors had never been to the Ritz-Carlton. They got all dressed up and so excited, and it was awesome. You know, we'd go to lunch and we'd sit down and we started dissecting everything. Okay, you guys, like, what are we listening to? Why? So it's classical music. Why? What impact does that have? You know, like, what do you smell? Why did they give you a black napkin and me a white one? What's that all about? And then when you asked to go to the bathroom, how did you get there? Well, they actually walked you there, you know, instead of pointing and telling you like this maze of directions of how to get there. And we talk about the magic of the Ritz-Carlton experience and what it was that made them feel so special when they were there. And we'd sit down and I said, you guys, if there's one thing I want you to do when you leave, if we ever don't work together anymore, I want you to be experts at customer experience. I want you to go into a restaurant, a business, a hotel, the theme park, the beach, wherever you are, it doesn't matter. And I want you to, you'll never be the same. Maybe you'll thank me. Maybe you'll be like, oh, I can't go anywhere
I'm
without,
cursed, right?
Yeah, exactly. Dissecting everything. And so, but you'll be looking at things with a different lens and you're experiencing things. I mean, I ask friends and family whenever we go to eat, I'm like, okay, that just happened. Like, how did that make you feel, you know, whether good or bad, yeah. You know? And it's amazing how powerful that can be. We'd sit at that Ritz-Carlton and we'd say, okay, this was awesome. We all feel like VIPs. We work in a nursing home. So how can we take this type of feeling that we have here at the Ritz? How can we translate these things to what we're doing? And imagine how that will make our residents feel in the last years of their life, in the last months of their life, perhaps. No one wants to be in a nursing home, but we could create an experience that would be exceptional and special and a place where they felt loved and cared for in a very meaningful way. We told people, you know, and it starts from, you ask like, so what does a leader do? This has to, developing this sort of culture and deliberate experience design starts with the leader. And you can't, you know, outsource that to someone else on your team. Certainly people can help you execute on stuff, but, you know, we would interview our team and say, we want everyone here to smile, have eye contact, recognize people by name, et cetera, et cetera. And we're like, can you help us do this? And they're like, well, I don't really know. I'm like, great. Please go and work for one of our competitors because we need people here. We like when we say 16B needs their IV changed, that 16B is someone's mom or daughter, or that is a real person. So we use their name. So that's a very long answer to your question about where do you start? You step back and you analyze, get your team together, do it on your own. You know, what are people experiencing? We just did this the other day with San Diablo. We were in our leadership meeting and every leadership meeting, we review one of our company values. And this week it was our value about interaction, not transaction. We're like, and we're pretty critical, you know, I mean, we have high expectations, especially because this is what we do. And we're like, okay, I think we're doing a pretty good job, but like, how can we really help our catering clients? How can we do, we do what is really kind of the norm in catering for our interaction with the actual client. Like, we're very professional, get back to people, like, you know, friendly, all of that, and do what's pretty much the norm. We're like, we gotta really dial it up a notch. So the next 30 minutes, we're like, well, let's not save this for another discussion 3 weeks from now. Let's take the next 15 minutes. We whiteboard. We're like, okay, let's talk about pre-event. How can we make it special for the catering? You know, let's send them a picture of the person that's going to be the lead on their catering event. And then what about during the event? Let's send them a thank you note from the owner and, you know, thank you for your business. We're so glad. Here's a free churro. Come and see us next time you're somewhere. And then post-event. So anyway, it's just capitalizing on the opportunity. Your team knows. Your team wants to be a part of something special. Everyone wants to be a part of something that's bigger than just like making money for everyone. They want to be part of something special. And so I'd ask your team, you know, bring everyone together and just go through the touch points and see where there's opportunity to where you're doing really great and acknowledge that, you know, validate yourselves that, yeah, we're really killing it on this. This is awesome. You guys are fantastic. And then recognizing where there's opportunity to craft something that's unique and special.
What's really interesting about this is I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, why do so many people get this wrong? Like, why do so many people just seem to not care about the customer's experience? And they don't. And I don't know how you can help them get that perspective if they don't have it. And maybe that's just the advantage that you have in your business, right? Is you're like, okay, well, I'd like everyone to have a good experience because I generally care about the customer's experience, but also this is my competitive advantage. And so
totally.
I'm excited about that, but I just, you know, it's so simple, yet you just have to focus on the customer and make that a priority. And it's intuitive if you go there. It's intuitive if you ask them questions. It's intuitive if you know what you like about the buying process. So replicate that, right? And it's fascinating that some people just get so stuck in the economics of their business that they just forget to think about who ultimately it is that keeps them in business. Uh-huh. So a lot of...
Here's an example. I was racing to get my business taxes in and postmarked on September 15th. I was in Columbus, Ohio, and I was literally like running. I ran into FedEx. I know fully that I was asking like them for information about their competitor, but I said, "Hey, do you know where the nearest post office is?" And she said, "I'm not going to tell you that."
Really?
There's nothing in it for us if I tell you that. I'm like, total disbelief. I'm like, wait, there's nothing in it for you? Do you understand that if you're helpful to me as a human being, I will have positive feelings about FedEx and I will come back when I do need you, you know, or maybe I find out that the post office is closed and I'm like, oh my gosh, FedEx was so nice and I'm going to come back and give you my money. But instead, now I left with such a sour, just like, really? Like, do you really not understand that about business? That if you help me with what I need as a customer, you're going to be successful and I will come back to you as a resource. And I will give you I will gladly give you my money and my service and I will tell everyone about it. And the contrary is true too. If you have a terrible experience, think about Dr. Dow, right? On United Airlines getting reaccommodated and like bloodied up. And like, I mean, everyone in the world seen that video. How does United Airlines recover from something like that? I mean, that The flip side is just like legendary customer experience. I just had something. I mean, I can talk forever about this, but I had something this just past week. I was playing racquetball at Vasa in Riverton.
I saw this post.
Did you see this? Yeah. It was unbelievable. This guy is like a hero status. I mean, it was textbook what every single team member. I'm like, dude, do you need a job? Because we need people like you on our team. This is the type of people we want to work for us, is people that, I mean, he could have blamed me. I mean, it was I pushed my key in between a wall and it was like a hole that was like an inch and a half wide where the signs clearly said, don't put stuff here. And I put stuff there. And so it was totally my fault. My keys were 6 feet down in between two pieces of drywall in the wall. And he helped me for an hour with the hanger, his iPhone, his own personal iPhone, coaching me along, baby steps, like, your name's Scott, right? Yeah, we got this, man. We're going to get these keys for you. And it was unbelievable. And it's all on video because it was on his iPhone. That's how it was like literally orthoscopic surgery in the wall and for my keys. And Michael is like a total hero. And I shared that with everyone. You saw it on social media, but and I will probably be talking about this experience the rest of my life because that is it. It is the epitome of what business can do to help its customers. And he was like ready. He's like, I want to take a sledgehammer to this wall and get this key out. Like, I mean, he was so committed to helping me that it didn't matter. And it was all my fault. He could have been accusatory and blaming. And we've all had experiences where it is our fault. And the customer person, you know, the representative lets us know that. And we feel, and then we get defensive and then we have bad feelings. And so the contrary can happen. Imagine a world where you're having all of these amazing, uplifting, happy interactions where people are going above and beyond all the time. It stands out. You know, you ask like why some people just don't get it. I mean, everyone sees the results of In-N-Out and Chick-fil-A. I mean, for heaven's sake, Chick-fil-A has one less day a week that they work and they're wildly successful. Why doesn't McDonald's, Burger King, Arby's, you know, I mean, the list goes on and on of all the fast food companies. Why don't they follow suit and embrace the customer experience like they do?
Yeah. Rapid fire here. What are your company, San Diablo Churros? You mentioned one of them. Walk us through real quick your values.
Sure. Yeah. So our mission is to create the best food experience in the world. We want to help people feel special where everyone feels like a VIP. We want people to experience the joy of food. That is really our company mission. And so we have values that help us, you know, that are kind of like the roadmap, the guiding principles that help us get there. And so it's an acronym because that's just easier for me to remember. I think it's easier for everyone. So ours are Diablo. So the first one is dedication. We're dedicated and committed to our members, to each other, to the community, to creating an exceptional experience. The next one is interaction, not transaction, which we've talked about. The A is attention to detail. We believe that the small things really make the biggest difference. And the B is brighten. We want to brighten everyone's day, help them experience we call it deep fried happiness.
Yeah.
You know, we're like, hey, when people ask us to bring churros to their party, we're like, yeah, we'd love to bring you some deep fried happiness. The L is legacy. We believe that we're creating a lasting legacy of really just an exceptional experience for people. And we don't want to be around just for a couple of months. Yeah. And that's a great company, but that has, you know, I think it was Sam Walton that said, customers are not looking for just a great experience. They want something that's legendary. They want to create, they want to experience something like we've been talking about. So, the legacy, and then the O is the opportunity to wow. This is a big thing for us. We love wowing our customers, our members, and going above and beyond to help them feel special. And Peter Thiel had a movie night at his house in San Francisco over the summer. And they were watching an Alfred Hitchcock movie, black and white movie, Strangers on a Train. And so we were like, we just went crazy. And we're like, this is going to be super cool. Well, what if we introduce a black velvet churro, and then we put scream cheese, because it's like a murder mystery, right? So we'll put scream cheese inside it. So this black and white churro. And then we actually literally served the churros on a train. And so we got this like model train that we put on our table, and the churros were on the train. And that level of wow. Like, you know, just wanting to go above and beyond, make something special. And we want to do that, and we love to do that for everyone.
Yeah.
And so I believe that as leaders, as business owners, influencers, and wherever we choose to spend our time, we have a tremendous opportunity to create something that is special for people and help people feel valued, important, worth the everything in the world. And imagine just the happiness it sounds maybe a little bit fluffy, but it is a very real need, I believe, that all of us have as humans. And there are ways that we can capture that, we can create that, and we can, as a business or an organization, have an ROI on that happiness, on creating something that's exceptional and special, that will be extremely successful financially. I mean, there's some amazing statistics, like customers that have happy experiences are spend 140% more than they would otherwise. Like revenues are increased 15%, loyalty 500%, like happiness 10x your happiness when you have positive brand experiences. I mean, you plug in any company's numbers into for those sure. those figures. I mean, who doesn't want their customer to spend 140% more?
Yeah.
That's the result. Those are the tangible, like real results that you can expect if you focus on providing an exceptional experience.
So much value in this. I'm excited to share this one and dissect this call and this conversation. What is the best way either to reach out to you to acquire a churro or
things first, right?
Or yeah. If somebody wanted to follow you or maybe twist your arm to have you come in and dissect their business and help them figure out how to get sure. it right. What's the best way to connect with you?
Sure. Well, you can absolutely check us out. First of all, churros, come and get a churro anytime. We'll go anywhere. I mean, we're at the Summit of Greatness in Columbus, Ohio. We did their closing party there. We were in San Francisco recently, and we'll go anywhere. So sandiablochurros.com, and then you can reach out to me personally at scott@sandiablochurros. I also, for all the taco fanatics or out there, I mean, I'm kind of a taco fiend, and I'm surprised that we haven't addressed this. It's just kind of where the conversation has gone, but search for the perfect taco. You can check it out there. I have that aside from just like ridiculously amazing tacos, mostly from Mexico City and California, some in Utah as well. But I have it sprinkled in there some really amazing, surprisingly and maybe kind of unconventional or unexpected learnings that you can get from a taco shop.
I love it. Thank you so much for taking time to introduce us to you, your product, and of course, this perspective is something that I think every founder needs. So thank you.
Oh, it's been awesome to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to Sales Founders, and a special thanks to Scott for joining us on this week's episode.
To connect with Scott, come visit us at salesfounders.com, where you can find access to the show notes as well as all of our past episodes. As I mentioned at the beginning, this is the finale of our first season of Sales Founders. It's been an honor to visit with you each week and to meet and just to dig into so much great content with thought leaders, authors, and entrepreneurs. It's been a learning journey for me as well, and I'm so thrilled to be able to have shared that with each of you. And I thank you each week for tuning in and being a support of the show. We will be back again, and until then, check us out at the website, stay in touch, and thanks again for listening to Sales Founders.